Guys, thank you for letting God speak to our hearts through you this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. Because the more of us there are together, the more joy there is in the room. And the more of us there are together, that means more lives with the abiding Spirit of God within. And so His presence becomes more and greater. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's the time when we celebrate the victory over death. You know, Christmas is special, and it's so important, and it's such a great time of celebration. But Christmas would mean nothing without Easter. Because even though Jesus needed to be born in human form to provide salvation for us, it would not have worked had He not gone to the cross. And it would not have worked if He had just gone to the cross. But the fact that He rose, the fact that He defeated death, the fact that He is alive is what makes the eternal difference for you and me. So I am so glad that we have the opportunity to celebrate Easter. And there are some things we should learn from Easter. We'll begin by looking at John chapter 8, verse 58, and we'll look at a lot of other verses today. You may just want to jot them down or jot the references down so that you can go back to them at some point. The first thing we want to understand this morning and learn, the first lesson we want to learn, is that Jesus is who He claimed to be. John 8, 58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." The scribes, the Pharisees, were once again trying to entrap Jesus, and they were trying to make themselves look better than they were and make Him worse than He was. And so He said to you, "Before Abraham was, I am." In Exodus, as Moses was out on the backside of the desert tending sheep, and he had an encounter with God in the form of the burning bush, and God told him to go to Pharaoh and give him the message that He wanted him to let His people go, Moses said, "Who shall I tell them sent me?" And God spoke to him through that burning bush, and He said, "I am. I am." The Hebrew there that is used indicates that what God was saying is, "I am the God that makes things happen." Now, the Israelites had been in captivity for some 400 years. Pharaoh had a pretty good hold on them. Moses had left Pharaoh's Egypt sometime earlier, about 40 years earlier, so he would not get arrested for murder. He had killed one of the soldiers. And so he fled for his life. So there were a couple of things that Moses was thinking about in his mind. There were some things that were just stacked up against him. The first thing stacked against him was he was wanted for murder. The second thing was Pharaoh had a real good hold on the Israelites. The third thing was, Randy, Moses was scared to death to talk to anybody. You know? I don't know for sure whether he had a speech impediment or not, but his excuse was for not going that I don't talk good. You know? That could have just meant he was redneck. What do I know? And Jesus now says, before Abraham was, I am. Sounds like the same thing God said. I am. Well, it's almost the same thing that God said. You see, what God told Abraham was, I am the God that makes things happen. That's how the Hebrew comes out in that. I'm the God that makes things happen. When Jesus said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am, he's saying, I am the God that makes things happen now, today. This is me. I do it, and I can do it right now. Jesus was claiming to be the I am. This is one of the most explicit claims of deity that's ever been made and that was ever recorded in the scripture. In John's account of the gospel, there are 7 times when Jesus says, I am. 7 statements that he made to bring the people to a point of belief and conviction about him as the Savior. We want to very briefly look at those 7 statements as we move on this morning. In John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. You know, I grew up not far from a bakery. And if the wind was just right, we'd go out in the yard and we're smelling that fresh, hot bread baking. To make matters worse, my dad worked for that bakery. And I would often go to the bakery. And he would almost always bring fresh, hot bread home. You know, store-bought light bread is really good when it's fresh and hot. It's just really good. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So believing in him is like having an ongoing hunger, like going without food for some long time. And it is like getting that fresh loaf of hot bread set down before you and beginning to feed you with it and nourish you with it. If your soul is hungering for truth, if your soul is hungering for freedom, if your soul is hungering for forgiveness, Jesus said, I am that food. I'm the bread. In John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. Everybody in here know what the green swamp is? All right, you know, this wilderness out here. Think about a dark, cloudy night. No moon, no stars. And being by yourself somewhere in the green swamp. And having no idea which way is out. Begin to think about that. And then remember, it's not just about being lost in the dark, in the swamp. But there are other dangers out there. There are water holes. In Florida, where there are water holes, there are water moccasins. Oh, where there are water holes, there are alligators. And where there is woods, there are rattlesnakes. And frankly, who knows what else out there in that swamp in the nighttime? So not only are you lost, not only is it dark and you have no way to figure out how to get out, there are all these dangers out there. Oh, wait a minute. out there in the swamp. You know, I bet they've got some of the biggest, ugliest, vicious-looking spiders in Florida out there in that swamp. And every time one of those leaves off a tree brush the back of your neck, you're scared to death that it's a spider touching you. Believing in Jesus is like being out there in the middle of all that stuff, and all of a sudden you see the light of the rescuer that's coming after you. And here comes Jesus, coming to find you, coming to lead you out of darkness, coming to bring you out of danger. And then in John 10:9, he said, "I am the door." How's life, guys? Are you stuck in a rut? Do you feel like things are closing in on you? Maybe you need a new opportunity for service in the kingdom. Maybe you need a new job to support your family with. Believing in him is like walking through a door into a brand new opportunity, into a brand new life. When you're out of options, Jesus is the door that leads to eternity. And he says in chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." Do you have a goal for 2016? Have you settled on the purpose of your life? Do you know why you're here? Do you know why you're breathing air today? And taking up space on the planet? Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is like the person that's just wandering aimlessly through life and finding somebody to lead you to that place of rest and fulfillment and purpose in life. If you're without a guide, if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what you're doing, Jesus said, "I am the shepherd. I will lead you." And at 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Lazarus was dead and buried. Tomb was sealed. Jesus had them move the tomb and called Lazarus by name and said, "Come out of there." And he did. Dead man got up and came out of there, not dead anymore. But you know, there are so many people that deep inside of here are dead. And they're still breathing. Still going about the motions of life. Not because they want to, but just because they are. But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Believing in him is like being dead on the inside or having that chaotic spirit and then being renewed to a new life. Believing in him is like being at death's doorstep and full of fear and anxiety and finding peace and comfort. I can tell you that because I've been there, done that. I know how that works. And in 14 chapter, or verse 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Believing in him is like being that person that's always been uncertain, being that person that doesn't know whether I ought to go this way or go that way, being that person that just gets confused in what's going on in life, and finding the road that answers my deepest questions. And illuminates the path for me to go. You say, Jesus said, if you're lost, I am the way. And in 15 verse 1, he said, I am the true vine. Believing in him is like being all shriveled up inside and finding a source of life that brings beauty and joy and out of a well-nourished soul. John said at the end of his account of the gospel, he gives us two reasons for writing that book, that gospel account. We find in John 20, 31, he writes these things. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in him. Life in him. That includes forgiveness. That includes rebirth. That includes adoption into the kingdom. That includes eternity. John said, I write this stuff so that you can be saved and know it. So that you won't have doubts about your eternity. In chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. I can't help when I think about that to be reminded of a fellow by the name of Horatio Spafford. He lived in the mid to late 1800s in the United States, and he and his family decided they would take a trip back to England. And so he put his wife and his children on a ship and sent them to England, and he was going to join them in a couple of weeks. And before that ship made it across the Atlantic to England, it sunk. And in one fell swoop, he lost his entire family. Sometime later, he decided to go ahead and take that trip to England. He boarded the ship, and he got out, started out that way. And when they got close to the spot to where the other ship sank, he stood on the deck of that ship looking out across that wide sea and being reminded of the loss of his wife and his children and the pain and the anguish that there had been in his heart ever since that day. And God inspired him and gave him this message. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When storms like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. You know the song. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. But the one condition for eternal life is to believe and to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You see, we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because God, by the person and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, place his faith within us for us to turn around and send back to him. You can believe in confidence in Jesus Christ because the resurrection that we celebrate this morning proves that he is in fact who he claimed to be. There is no other way. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the ways, or I'm a good way. He did not say that all spiritual ways would lead you to home. He said, I am the way, the one way. Carolyn, do you have your phone with you this morning? You do have. Okay, hold on a minute. I need to talk to you. Carolyn? It's not Carolyn. Ron, too, is that you? I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Carol. No, you shouldn't go get her. Her phone should have rang. Thinking, as so many do, that all religions try to get to heaven and that any of them will get you there, is like dialing Ron 2's number thinking you're going to talk to Carolyn. A, it won't work. B, it's just pure stupid. Especially when we hear Jesus say, I am the way. The only way. Many people try different ways to get to heaven. Many people try different ways to be saved. Some try salvation by sincerity. And you know, I've heard this. You know, it really don't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You ever hear that? I've heard it. You know, you can talk about the Mormons or the JWs or the Muslims or any group you want. And you know, those people are sincere in what they believe. And they're sincerely on the way to hell because they're not following Jesus. All three of those groups I mentioned, by the way, will tell you they believe in Jesus. Say, you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But none of them believe in the Jesus of the Bible. They don't believe in what the Bible says about Jesus. You can also try salvation by service. You know, I'll teach Sunday school. I'll see if they'll let me be a deacon. I'll tithe. I'll give more than the tithe. I'll cut the grass. I'll do all of this. I'll do that, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. And I'll do this, and whew, and maybe it'll get me to heaven. And if that's the reason why you do it, go home, sit down, put your feet up. Because it won't get you to heaven. It just won't get you there. And then there's the group that tries salvation by subtraction. You know, if I don't drink and if I don't cuss and if I don't go running around with somebody else's wife, remember that one. And if I don't do this and don't do the other, then maybe I can get to heaven. Guess what? You might as well drink and cuss and run around with somebody else's wife because not doing it isn't going to get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. Now, all of these things that we're talking about here may be issues that we need to deal with in our lives once we come to know Jesus as our Savior, but they are not necessary in order for us to be saved. In order for us to be saved, we come just as we are to Him. And He cleans us up as He desires to clean us up. The second lesson we should learn is that Jesus has the power He claimed to have. John 10:18 says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, speaking of His life. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus has the power that He claims to have. Need to understand that. Let's move on here just a little bit. Mark 10:33-34. See, we are going up to Jerusalem. No, I don't want to be there yet. Do you understand? Nobody could kill Him. Nobody could kill Him. Do we say the Roman soldiers killed Him? Yeah, we say that. But nobody could kill Him. He died because He chose to die. He ended His physical life because He chose to end His life. He gave up His life willingly for you and me. They put Him in a grave. Nothing could hold Him in the grave. No natural power could hold Him in the grave. The soldiers couldn't keep Him in the grave. The tomb couldn't keep Him in the grave. The boulder in front of the tomb couldn't keep Him in the grave. He had already told them, they're going to kill me. I'm going to be gone 3 days and then I'm going to be alive. Guess what? You better get ready. You cannot prevent the inevitable. When Jesus says He's coming out of the tomb, get ready, boys and girls, because He's coming out of the tomb. He has the power that He said He had. They saw Him calm the seas and say, ooh, what kind of man is this? Nobody ever talked like that before. They saw Him take the water and make wine out of it. They saw Him touch the little girl and she sat up from being dead. They stood and saw Him as He called for Lazarus out of the tomb and he got up and walked out from being dead. And then they killed Him and buried Him and sealed the tomb. And they saw Him again because He got up from the dead and came out of there. You know, there are people that still say He never died. You know that? I mean, the Roman soldiers started all that foolishness way back then. There are still people that say, well, somebody stole His body. But you know that this book that we call the Bible, the Word of God, inspired by Him, is not the only book that records the fact that Jesus was killed on a cross, He was buried in a tomb, and He was witnessed by others walking around and talking and eating on the face of the earth. Secular historians record that fact. They don't understand it. They're in good company. I don't understand it either. But they agree that it happened. Jesus had the power that He claimed to have. And lastly, we find that He did what He said He would do. Mark 10:33-34, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Guess what, guys? After 3 days he rose. That's exactly what he did. You know, when God makes a promise, you can count on it. It's going to happen. He keeps his promises all of the time. These things all added up together have some incredible implications for you and I. And these things address some of the deepest needs that we have in our lives. Because if Jesus said, "I will forgive your sins, and I will forgive the past, and I will separate it from you as far as the east is from the west," guess what he's going to do? He's going to do just that. He's going to bring you forgiveness. If he said he would be with you always, guess what? He's never going to leave you. You're never going to be totally alone and totally by yourself. You're always going to have the Spirit of God abiding with you and strengthening you and filling you with his peace. You may not always want to acknowledge him, but he's going to be there. And if Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then when I do that, I'm coming back and I'm going to get you and receive you to myself so that we can be together for all eternity," guess what's going to happen? The trumpet's going to sound, the angel's going to shout, the sky is going to bust open, and Jesus is going to descend out of the eastern sky, and he's coming back to get us. Those that are dead in Christ are going to bust the graves open, and we're going to go, whoa. And then if we're still alive, our feet are going to leave the ground, and we're going to rise, and we're going to be in his glorious presence. And we're going to be there for today and tonight and tomorrow and all of eternity. John 14 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If I were not so, I would have told you. Would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way where I'm going." You know the way. The way is through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Easter, because of the resurrection, because Jesus died and didn't stay dead, you can walk out of here today fully prepared for an eternity in the presence of the living God. But I want you to understand, that's not automatic. It don't happen just because Jesus was born, or just because he died, or just because he rose again. You and I have decisions to make before that happens. So we must look at some questions. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life, if you've never repented of your sin and come in faith believing in Jesus, then today is the day. Will you repent of your sin and receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers? However, if that question's already been settled, if you know that you know that you know, if you were to die right now, you'd spend eternity in heaven, then will you totally commit your life to serving him? And you can start out by asking God this morning to give you an opportunity to share Jesus with someone else this week. That's a good way to begin serving him. Would you pray with me? Father, in these moments, you have spoken to our hearts. We have sung songs of praise. We have prayed. We have read your word. We've talked about you and what you're doing and what you want to do in our lives. And so I pray today, God, if there are those in this place that have never accepted Jesus as Savior, that this would be the hour, that this would be the time that they'd come and confess their sin to you and be born again. I pray that if there are those in this place that you would have to unite with this church, either through baptism or transfer of membership, that you would speak to those hearts and they would do so this morning. God, I just pray that your will is done in this place, in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.